Holder Tonight continues with more interviews and great conversation to get you through the night on News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto and CJAD 800 in Montreal. Here's Peter Anthony Holder.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on CJAD and CFRB. You know, the economy, as you keep hearing in newscasts, is not looking really good right now, and there are more and more people out of work. So how do you increase your chances of finding a new job? Well, that's a question we put to Dr. Arlene Barrow, who is a career coach and author. The book is called Win Without Competing, Career Success the Right Fit Way. And she joins us on the program right now. Hi, Arlene. How are you?
Fine. Thank you so much for inviting me, Peter.
Thanks for being on the show with us. So I understand there's some myths that people have when it comes to looking for jobs, and we're going to bust some of those in just a matter of moments. But as the economy starts to circle the drain, as it were, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad time if you need to be looking for work.
No, I think that, first of all, one should look at it from a positive perspective and use the time to think about whether you want to pursue the same type of job that you have been in the past, basically. So in other words, look at yourself and say, am I still wanting to, for example, be the director of sales? Or would I prefer to do something else?
Mm. And again, with the economy the way it is, some people won't be thinking, ooh, it's not necessarily a good idea to look. Maybe it's just safe where I stay where I am.
Well, let's look at it from that perspective. First of all, if you're currently in a position that you enjoy and you feel comfortable in and there's opportunity for growth, then certainly it makes sense not to rush out the door. I never advise anyone to leave a position before they have another one. So even if you are concerned that you could be downsized, you certainly don't want to, on the thought of downsizing, decide to leave. And there are people who do that in the U.S.
Right.
And we really don't want people to do that. However, having said that, one should always be aware of potential opportunities, which means that you certainly can review who you are, determine whether your current position is the right fit, and start looking around.
Now I alluded to earlier that there are some myths, right, that people have?
Absolutely.
Now, I understand myth number one is employers usually have a clear picture of the position they're trying to fill. You say that's a myth?
Yes, that's a myth. The reason why employers usually parade candidates to compare and contrast is to help them figure out who is the best candidate to hire. The problem with that approach is that if they're all the wrong fit and select one, then they're going to hire the wrong fit. What I advise the employers to do, as I am the founder and CEO of Barrow Global Search, which is an executive search firm, I advise my client employers to work with us to create a blueprint of the right fit candidate. And when I do a search, I give the employer one candidate, the right fit candidate, because that candidate matches the blueprint. So how does this transfer to the person who's searching for a job?
Right.
The person who's searching for a job must stop the employer from shopping. What that means is that it's that person's responsibility, and I like the phrase, it's all up to you, to show the employer that you are the right fit, which means that you take a different approach from what's normally done. Instead of blasting your resume from Burbank to Bombay, you do some research on the company that you're interested in pursuing and the open opportunities, and you call and talk with employers on the phone and ask a series of questions to figure out what the employer is really trying to hire, who they're trying to hire, what are the tasks of the position, what are the expectations. And through that probing, you have the opportunity to show why you're the right fit, why you match the specs that you've uncovered. You basically have to be a Sherlock Holmes, because that's what I am when I talk to employers. I keep sleuthing around until I can create that blueprint. Then, if the opportunity is right, on the phone, you arrange an interview, an in-person interview to visit the company. Prior to that in-person interview, you take your resume and modify it to show why you are the right fit. And the focus should be not on what you do, but on what you achieve and have achieved. Because let's face it, people send resumes to my search firm all the time, and they tell me the first line is, I've been working 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. That doesn't tell me anything other than they've lived a long time and they've been working. I don't know what they've accomplished or achieved during that period of time. So the resume should be focused on outcomes, not on processes. Not what you do, but what you've achieved.
Yeah, you mentioned the idea that to do your homework. I'm astounded at the amount of people who, when looking for work, don't even know what the particular company does exactly.
Well, you know, it's amazing. There was an interesting situation with someone in California. I'm based in Los Angeles. A friend of mine told me the story. It's a company that she works at. The CFO that they recently hired, the institution, the chief financial officer, didn't know that the audit department reported to him. He took an extremely high-paying job and didn't even know what his responsibilities are. It's not uncommon. It may be surprising, but you have no idea how many times people call me and tell me they left their jobs because they were expecting something else. Of course, in this economy, people are not rushing to leave their jobs.
But isn't part of that the fault of the employer?
Well, think about it to yourself. Think about if you were planning to get married, all right?
Right.
And you're out on a date, and you're considering each other. Wouldn't you want to really understand as much as you can about the other person? It's the same thing with joining an organization. It's really the candidate's responsibility to find out everything he or she needs to know to make a sound decision to be sure that the opportunity is the right fit. People take jobs and have no idea how much travel is involved. They move across the country and then tell me they don't like where they're living. All right, you know, am I going to move from Los Angeles to New York City and then say, gee, you know, I think it's a little bit too busy and crowded here. All right. Well, you need to figure these things out ahead of time.
We are talking with Dr. Arlene Barrow. She is a career coach and author. The book is called Win Without Competing. And you could also check out her website, which is winwithoutcompeting.com. You can go to my website, peteranthonyholder.com. Click on the What's on Page for Tonight's Date. You'll find links to Arlene's website. Also, links to Amazon.com and Amazon.ca, where you can order the book directly. We'll take a quick break, and we'll continue talking with Arlene. This is Montreal's News Talk leader, CJD 800, and News Talk 1010, CFRB Toronto.
Canada's favorite overnight talk show continues with Peter Anthony Holder on CJAD 800 in Montreal and News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto.
And we are talking with Dr. Arlene Barrow, the author of Win Without Competing. She's also a career coach here on CJAD and CFRB. You can check out her website, winwithoutcompeting.com. Now, one of the other myths, myth number two, calling companies about a job opening is a big mistake.
Yes.
You say that's a myth.
Yes, that's definitely a myth. It is true that if you go online and you want to apply for a position, they always tell you, no calls, please. Well, when you're applying for a job, you're not trying to get into the military. You don't have to follow what it says on the website. If you do, it'll be very difficult for you to be noticed. And what I suggest is, fine, identify the opportunity, but then call and ask a series of questions to determine whether you're the right fit. And you want to talk with the supervisor or the person to whom you would be directly reporting.
Gotcha.
That, I think, is key. People say, well, how are you going to do that? It's very simple. You're going to pick up the phone. If you call and the person that you need to speak with is busy and can't take your call, then try to arrange an appointment through that person's assistant.
Now, myth number three is arranging an interview without sending a resume first won't work.
It will work if you make the cold call. And I know a lot of people hate to make cold calls, but I love cold calls. What are you and I doing, Peter? We're having a cold call.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having a perfectly comfortable conversation, correct?
Right.
Okay.
I cold called you to book this interview.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you have to say to yourself that you're not afraid of being rejected, that it's perfectly all right for me to call, and the fact that you call actually indicates your strong interest in the opportunity, especially if you've done the research about the company beforehand, so that the questions that you ask and the information that you provide shows that you really understand what the company is all about.
Now, here's the tricky part. I know people who agonize over this situation. You've had the job interview, and now you're waiting. When, if at all, should you call?
Okay. You absolutely must follow up. All right. First of all, after the interview, you should send a thank you note. And that can either be by snail mail or by email, because that reinforces who you are, why you went for the interview, the extent to which you're interested in the interview. If you really are the right fit, which means that you match the specs that you've uncovered through asking a series of questions, if you have successfully shown that you are the right fit, you should have stopped the shopping so that the employer does not want to look at any more candidates and parade them and compare and contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have not heard, I'd say within a week or a week and a half, it's perfectly fine to follow up. Do not make the erroneous assumption that they're not interested. You don't know what's going on internally that would impact on their getting back to you. So what you want to do is do a follow-up. Probably at that point, an email would be a good idea so that you don't catch the person off guard. It's better for the person to have a little time to formulate the response, especially if there is some type of dissension within the company and they're suddenly undecided whether they are going to hire or whether you are the right fit. I would drop an email, and in that email, I would reiterate the interest in the position and ask directly what is the next step. That's how I would put it. What is the next step?
Now, one of the things I don't hear enough about often is, because I often maintain that in a lot of companies, sometimes jobs are like regularly scheduled buses. And if you miss one, there might be another one right behind. So the reason why I bring that up is, what do you say and how do you follow up if you're told you don't get the job, because there could be other opportunities in that company, and they might not be that far away in the distance.
Okay, this is how I would approach it. First of all, if you don't get the job, you need to really know why. If you do not fit into the company, then it probably doesn't matter that there are other jobs there, if you're just not a fit for the environment. So the reason why is crucial, key to your understanding in terms of knowing what to do as far as the next step. If they say, for example, that they've put the hiring for that particular position on hold and there are other things going on internally, I think I would ask directly, what other opportunities might be the right fit for me?
But there's also the situation where somebody might say, you know, we really liked your application. We thought you were a great candidate, but somebody came along who fit that job better. So it sounds like, you know, maybe we would have hired you if that other person didn't come along. So maybe there's something else in the company for you. That's what I'm getting at.
No, so you asked that. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's okay. You asked the question directly. You would ask, are there other opportunities for me at your company? And I'm saying that if you're not a fit for the company, in other words, a cultural fit, in other words, in the United States, it is crucial to be a cultural fit in the company. If you show yourself, for example, as not a team player, you know, a lot of companies don't want independent, divergent thinkers.
Right.
They're not searching for the creative types. And I certainly don't want someone to pretend there's something that they're not. You have to be yourself, because otherwise the person that they saw during the interview process would have to be maintained as long as you're at the company, and that's too stressful. So you have to be who you are. So as long as it's not an issue in terms of fitting in, then there isn't a reason to ask about, you know, why you shouldn't ask about the opportunities. You should, because what you would say is you really like the company, you feel as if it would be a good fit for you, meaning that you fit in, and that you want to be considered for other positions. And also, too, if the company has career growth, in other words, that it's a growing company and you see that you can move up the ladder, you want to indicate that that's something that you want to do and that you are impressed with the company, because that would enable you, if you work there, to go up the ladder.
All good points indeed. The book is called Win Without Competing, Career Success, The Right Fit Way. It's written by Dr. Arlene Barrow, and you can check out the website, which is winwithoutcompeting.com. You could also go to my website, which is peteranthonyholder.com. Click on the What's On page for tonight's date. You'll find links to both Arlene's website and also to Amazon.com and Amazon.ca, where you can order the book directly. I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us this morning, Arlene.
Thank you for inviting me, Peter, and I hope that your audience learned a lot about how to take an approach when enables them to win without competing.
Absolutely. We'll take a break and we'll continue on the other side. Yvan Cornoyer, model and fitness buff, will be on the program with us. That's coming up here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800 and News Talk 1010, CFRB Toronto.